Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, all you homeschoolers out there. Because if you weren't a homeschooler before, you are now. And I can hear a lot of you in my mind's eye grimacing and complaining. And check this out. This is a great story. And then we'll get to our friends from Iron Academy. 15,000 LA high school students are AWOL online. 40,000 failed to check in daily amid the coronavirus closure. So that's since they shut the school down. Okay, so 15,000 students is roughly the population of, I don't know, here in North Carolina. You could go with Roanoke Rapids. You could go with Albemarle City or Clayton here in the Raleigh area. That's the entire population of Clayton disappears from the school system. All right. And then you got 40,000 that don't check in regularly. So now you're talking about Apex and Hickory and Goldsboro, Salisbury, all in North Carolina. And that's the problem. That's the public school system was not ready to pivot. They were not ready to deal with this. And like our daughters, our youngest one is in the public school system here in Wake County, North Carolina. They were not ready and are just now starting to actually get some things sent out to the students. So that's a problem. But for every school across the nation that have been shut down, and for all you parents out there, all of a sudden, a lot of people are in a lurch. They don't know what to do. Things are falling behind. But that's not the case with our friends at Iron Academy, which is a great example of when you have a tight ship and you have a cohesive team and a big vision, how things can pivot with these things. And so to find out what they're doing and how they're caring for these young men. Alan Hahn and Bruce Mack are back in the studio from Iron Academy, ironacademy.org. Gentlemen, how are you? Welcome to the strangest of days.
Absolutely.
Very well. Thank you for having us.
It's totally bizarre.
It is weird.
I mean, I'm sure you didn't start this school year last fall thinking you'd be online, but yet here you are.
Yep. No, this is not what anybody prepped for, right?
No, not at all. I mean, nobody prepped for this, but this is what we're doing. So how did you guys react? I mean, the word comes down. Did the governor's office, was it Wake County? How did you guys kind of get put into this scenario where you have to actually shut the doors at Iron Academy?
All right, good question. So we had the option early on not to. Wake County shut down maybe a week or two before we did. We kept going, but it started to look more obvious like we should, because we're always wanting to do the prudent thing.
And sure.
I know we don't use that word very often, but what's the wise thing to do? You don't want to be wrong about this situation. So we decided that we would do the same thing. We went to school Monday, maybe 2 weeks after Wake County shut down, and we said, all right, our students are going to have one day off. We'll consider it a makeup day for them. I need them to make up any work. We're going to do a day of staff training to finish on some of the software we already had. And we started school back the next day remotely, and so we missed one school day, and we haven't missed a beat since.
Man, so how do you, Bruce, when that came up, because you're one of the head professors there at Iron Academy, what was your first thought? All of a sudden, wow, we're going to shut the doors.
Well, when it had been 2 weeks that we'd been looking at the rest of the school system shutting down, so your idea is that at some point you are going to probably have to do that. So I would say that we all were talking about it in the hallways and meeting together in small groups as teachers and, okay, how will we handle this when it comes? And so when we finally made the decision, when Alan decided we're going to have to do this, this is what we're going to do, I don't think anybody really was shocked. We had been looking around in the back of my mind. I was thinking, well, okay, how would I handle school if I couldn't come back to school?
Yeah, yeah.
How would we do the internet? And I was thinking, well, my materials will allow me to do what I need to get done. The students already know the program all the way through to the end of the year. I've already have that completely laid out. So if I'm out a day or if they miss internet service or whatever, they know what to make up so that they've got it ready the next day. So there should be no reason for them not to be able to do this.
So, Alan, what day did you actually close the doors? And then you guys were online the next day.
Yes. Yeah.
And so what became the priorities? Like, how are we going to do this? Because it's obviously a different scenario, but you've got a lot of the young men at Iron Academy that were homeschooled before, so it wasn't totally foreign to them, but not all of them. So what changes about what you do at Iron Academy? And let's back up a little bit and just explain to people that may not be familiar with what Iron Academy is all about.
Well, that will put some of this in perspective. So we are an all-male school. We are focused. If we had only one thing to be try to be really great at. It would be the biblical manhood development that we do with the families in the local church. After that, it's leadership development, and obviously we have an all-male atmosphere that we try to cater to the learning preferences of young men, and we do that. But to do that, we've also chosen to be a low-technology school, especially in middle school. You know, our guys don't have phones from the minute they get there to the minute they leave. We don't have devices in the middle school. So you would think, all right, Iron Academy right. is not going to do well here, which is a legitimate thought. But we happened to have all the software. God had taken care of us there. We had everything on hand that we didn't have to pay anything. So when this happened, we just spent an extra day of training, and we said, all right, what are the most important things for us to do this remotely? And we wanted to keep the daily schedule because one of the things we were worried about is young men who – well, I had seen what online education looks like elsewhere, and we'd had 2 weeks of looking at what was going wrong across the country. But my kids were home from college all of a sudden. We were empty nesters. Now we're not. And their online education usually consists of, all right, here you get an assignment posted and go do your stuff and turn it back in, which for a higher learning level, an older student or an adult, that can work really well. And for some young men and young ladies, it can work well. But we wanted to keep the daily schedule. We wanted the interactivity with them every day. Because we love these guys. We want to know who they are every day. And so we kept the same schedule. We do the video conferences so we get to see them, hear them. And we just were able to start the next day.
And one of the things that's interesting about Iron Academy, because the problem with the public school system and most of the private school system is everybody gets trained under the same basic educational model, which in many ways is fine for young ladies. It doesn't work very well at all for the guys. And one of the things that happens at Iron Academy, recognizing that, dealing with the reality that God made guys different than girls. Sorry, everybody, if that's a tough one for you. But the activity level. So you said you're on the same schedule. So how do you manage the fact that they're stuck at home? But because you had a lot of times during the day where there's physical activity for these young men because they need it.
Yeah, so the physical activity they would be missing is every class we have a short brain break where we get outside and do intensive activity. But we also have, for 6th through 9th, they have daily PE. So how do you do that? Well, Coach Mitchell has been giving them a daily workout, and several of the moms have been doing it with their sons. Wow. And that's been really great to see posted on our Facebook family page.
That's a great idea. Yeah. So increase the health of the entire family, not just these young men that are coming out to Iron Academy. We're talking to Bruce Mack and Alan Hahn from Iron Academy, ironacademy.org. What else is going on? How do they minister to these young men? How can you minister to the young men, the young women in your house based on what the Iron Academy folks are doing? Because they always do it in an excellent fashion. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back after this. Back at Steve Noble as a 16-year homeschooling veteran with my wife. I say that as a veteran. I'm like the guy in the stands acting like I'm on the team. My wife is the team. I've occasionally was the headmaster. But as a 16-year homeschool veteran, welcome to our world, to everybody else in the country that's never homeschooled. And most schools aren't ready for it. Schools with a lot of kids that are living in poorer areas could not handle it. They don't have the technology. Vance on Facebook Live was like, hey, in these poor areas here in Texas, they don't have internet, they don't have computer, they don't have laptops, they don't have any of that stuff at home. And so we have a huge problem in the public school system. And like we started the show with, 15,000 kids, high schoolers in the LA County area, have had zero contact. 40,000 haven't even checked in line, online on a daily basis. And they're all high school students. What do you do with them? What do you do with them with this fall, if God willing, we can actually get back into the school? This is a huge problem and a huge challenge. But for Iron Academy, which is operating on a whole nother level, this is just, it's not business as usual, but your goals, your intentions, the way you do things, none of that changed. You just kind of switched it to an online format.
Right. Yeah. So when we switched up, we did lose some things. You know, we felt like we did a really great job educationally, and we surprised ourselves a little bit with how well we did there. You know, we had to invest in some additional equipment, like some Microsoft Surface Pros and some document cameras and some webcams and things like that. But otherwise, the educational delivery is very similar. It's more difficult to get the quality. You have to be more imaginative in getting to develop the critical thinking skills when you're testing and those kind of things. But one of the things that hit us very quickly is that we lost the discipleship opportunities in an intensive level. And that's why we exist. So we've been struggling with how do we reclaim the discipleship, and we've had to change a couple things we did there. And I'll mention these because I think these will be good for some of your listeners here.
Yeah, because I want to make sure for all of the majority of us don't have sons at Iron Academy, and we're stuck with kids at home. And for a lot of people, they've never really dealt with that to have students at home. So, yeah, I want people to learn from what you guys are doing because God continues to bless everything at Iron Academy. So there's a lot of teaching that you guys could do for the rest of us.
Yep. If somebody's getting it done academically, you can't assume that they're healthy mentally, psychologically, spiritually. So you have to dig into that. So take your opportunities every week or if needed to really dig into the ask them the probing questions. But stay in tune with who they are and how they're growing and what they're struggling with. Many people are caught in homes with new guests or they're getting on each other's nerves, like you were saying. I mean, we've seen domestic violence go up. No, that's not something we worry about at Iron Academy, but that could happen anywhere, right?
Yep.
But the indicator, though, is there's a lot of tension in some households. A lot of our homes are thriving in this. You know, there are good things about this quarantine, but it is affecting people differently. So we have to be really in tune with that.
Yeah. So Bruce Mack is here from Iron Academy, and Bruce, on the discipleship side, I mean, so much of that. Obviously, the model was Christ himself, and then we see the apostles. But all of that's proximity discipleship. You're together. You're not utilizing technology. Obviously, you can, but how do you preserve that? Because the discipleship is one of the main reasons people send their young men to the Iron Academy here in the Raleigh area. How do you do that electronically? How do you overcome the challenges of discipleship when you're not sitting at the same table together? By the way, somebody asked me on Facebook Live, this is kind of funny and kind of not. They said, where are your face masks? My answer to you is, we're living in the past. In the past, in terms of face masks, only have to go back 2 weeks or 3 weeks where Fauci was saying, don't worry about face masks. Till today, they say wear face masks. So that's all part of the madness of all this. Anyway, sorry, Bruce. Go ahead.
That's not a problem at all. I think probably the words that I would use would be words from the great 19th century preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He wrote a little article on the fruit of the Spirit, and he related all of the other parts that make up the fruit of the Spirit to the number one part, the first part, which is love. And when he gets to the word gentleness or humility, as some versions translate it, he describes that as God's love in the classroom. Mm. And the more I thought about it, and it refers, of course, to our honor code, I will always conduct myself as a gentleman. A gentleman is teachable. He's coachable. He's trainable. If you want to have a great teacher, first and foremost, they must be a great student. I always want myself to be a lifelong learner. My goal is to learn two things new every day. Mm. And I learn from my students in the first 5 minutes of class, so what's going on with you? And then I'm quiet. It's not about sit down, shut up, and let me teach you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about tell me what's going on with you. In many churches, you heard the statement that said, they don't care what you know till they know that you care. Well, that's so important. Our God is a God who is infinite, but he's also personal. Mm. He's up close. And in Genesis 1, the Bible talks about this God who creates stuff out of nothing. And then you get to Genesis 2, and it's like, well, here's a recap of what happened in 1, except you keep seeing this word Lord, and the Lord God did this, and the Lord God did this. Adonai, he's close. He's in there. He's in the mix. He's not standing all throwing lightning bolts, and
right.
He's coming down and meeting you where you are.
Personal, Emmanuel, God
That's
with
it.
Us.
God with us. And he's been that way. He was that way through all 66 books.
Yeah.
And so for us as teachers in the classroom, the goal is to be that, to be God's hands, God's feet, God's ears. So what's going on with you guys? And they're able to share whatever they want to. My goal is if I can get them to drop that guard of, oh, here I am in class, and I've got to, you know, buckle down and get into this. Wait a minute. This is not me teaching you. This is us teaching each other. Mm. I'm learning as much from you as I hope you're learning from me.
Yeah.
And in that kind of relationship, that's what they want. That's what they desire. Those guards come down, and then I can teach them.
Yeah.
And they're willing to listen. And they know that if they speak to me, I'm not going to say, not your time. Come on, tell me what's on your mind. Let's work this out, because that's what relationships are all about.
Well, with the students that I teach, so I've got, and you guys know this, I've got four classes of high school age homeschoolers. I've got 88 students every week, And I always tell them, and I tell the parents this too. I said, listen, yeah, they're going to learn the Constitution. They're going to learn civics. Yes, they're going to learn Christian ethics. But ultimately, the whole thing is a ruse to get to their hearts. Mm-hmm. My number one goal is to glorify God. My number two goal is to disciple your kids. And so when the Holy Spirit opens up a conversation in the middle of a chapter when we're talking about the judicial branch, I will walk away from the judicial branch.
Yes.
From the head knowledge to pour into the heart knowledge.
Absolutely.
But you know, in most public school situations, even in most private school situations, you don't have that kind of flexibility, but it's absolutely necessary. So, Alan, you told me something earlier, and we're here with Alan and Bruce from Iron Academy, ironacademy.org, if you're in the Triangle area. And you have young men in your family, grades 6 to 12. You need to be looking into Iron Academy right away, especially given what's happening in the country and who knows what's going to happen this fall. You said earlier, Alan, so you guys are actually checking up on your 77 students then individually as well. Did I hear you say that?
Yeah, we talk to each student every week, but we have set up special times outside of their normal classes where we can check in. And next week, we are doing what's called an accountability day, which is something we normally do twice a year. It's usually a little more hardcore, but this year it's going to be more focused, or this next Wednesday it's going to be more focused on, hey, this is a spiritual checkup, but several teachers will be talking at once and with their parents, and you know, really fine tuning a deeper probe into how everybody's doing. Yeah, very important.
And how we're going to hit the break here in a second, but I do want to hear from you guys. How are they reacting to this strange new world that we live in? Mm. Because I think a lot of people are much more nervous than they're willing to say. It's a little upsetting. The normality is gone. There's a bizarre aspect to it. As Christians, did God send it? He certainly allowed it. What's the Lord doing in all this? So are you finding that they're asking those kind of questions? Are they sharing a little bit about what they're experiencing in the midst of this shutdown?
Projections are, by the end of 2020, the budget deficit could reach $1.3 trillion, the largest in U.S. history. In 2000,
did you hear that?
That market was $5 trillion. Today, it's
$9.5
trillion.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough,
I love that. That's my buddy Matt Papa. If 10% is enough, stay away from Jesus, because he wants a lot more than that. However, he will give you much, 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 much more in return, and not just in the here and the now, forever. And I know that's a bedrock principle that they live by at Iron Academy. IronAcademy.org, just an outstanding school for young men only. It's just for young men here in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area of North Carolina. For those of you outside the market, if you don't have an Iron Academy there, start praying, because you need one. We need Iron Academies all over the country, and with the shutdown of the school system virtually nationwide, Iron Academy just pivoted within 24 hours, and boom, they're up and running and taking care of these young men and continuing to disciple them. And Alan Hahn is here, who's the CEO, Chief Educational Officer, and Bruce Mack is here as well. And you guys pivoted fast, and you were mentioning, and I wanted to keep talking about that you're actually checking in with these young men individually. Mm-hmm. How often? And then what's that call like? And then how are these young men reacting to this bizarre world that we live in right now?
So the coronavirus is not what's messing up their world. It's the isolation. It's the being out of community with other people. That's what's messing up their world. But I will also say, as they have gone, immersed themselves further into a digital world, the distractions of the digital world and the traps of a digital world, I can't even imagine the damage that this is going to do across our nation to our young men. With all of the young men we had immersed in video games and all the other things a young man can get into on the internet, the things that have been happening in our country has been bad enough. But with this coronavirus, if I wanted to destroy a nation, this might be how I would do it.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the things that are they're being exposed to, that's why it's important for us to talk to them each week. So at home, if they're at home, you should already have some things that you can control when they have access to these things. But if you've got, if they're on a computer, if you can put it in a central place, if you can cut off the Wi-Fi at a certain time, but keep them focused. But one of the things we had to do is they started getting digitally fatigued. And I would have to say probably our teachers did too. But we rescheduled our spring break, and we have four, instead of having our spring break, we had four consecutive three-day weekends. And if we're still out of school in mid-May, then we will continue. What we'll do is we'll continue the three-day weekends.
Yeah, and so what are you hearing from? Are you on some of these phone calls, Bruce? I would imagine that you are. What are you hearing from these young men, just in terms of being at home, the frustration of that, the angst of that, some of the pressure of that, but also just what's going on in the country and what's going on around us. How are they handling it?
Well, it's so interesting because you would think, okay, the standard answer should be, I miss my brothers. I miss being in class. I miss being with students. I'm here by myself. I don't like that. I want to be around my buddies. And then one of them said, I miss my teacher.
Hmm.
And we were sitting in every week. We take one of the study skills classes, and it's sort of a blade maintenance time. And when I first went into this, I thought, well, maybe I need to have something for them. And the first week it was, I had four questions. 45 minutes just evaporated.
Yeah.
And the next week I came in and I said, okay, what's on your mind? And I didn't say anything for 15 minutes.
Yeah, didn't guide the conversation.
They just bounced it around.
Yeah.
Okay. And one student says, yeah, I miss my teacher. I'm so tired of having to watch a video. I really want to be in the classroom with you teaching me. Yeah, I want to be in the classroom too. I'd like to do that. I mean, it's just like four or five of them just chimed right in.
Yeah.
Out of 14 or so that I had that were together as we were discussing. And I found that to be a fascinating thing because when they're in the classroom, you're not really sure if they're paying that much attention. Sometimes that's part of their little facade.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not really paying attention, but they're listening.
Yeah, they're always listening. They're like Big Brother. They're always listening.
That's always listening.
And so what, Alan, and then I want to talk about what's coming this fall because hopefully everybody's going to be back in session. And I know that you would love to see everybody get back into session.
In mid-May,
which would be awesome. We're going to be talking in the last segment of the show, by the way. Ashley Smith's going to call in. She's one of the founders of Reopen NC on Facebook, which had the protest downtown today. And I was down there for that. So we're going to talk to Ashley Smith in the last segment of the show today. But what are you kind of focusing on? Obviously, you got to continue the education, you continue the discipleship, but are there any other levels that you're working on with these young men right now, just given the situation and what you're doing online?
Well, I'm praying that we're back in mid-May.
Yeah, amen.
And we don't know how this will affect us again next fall. I'm just going to assume that we're going to be back to normal forever mid-May. We have started exploring some things about how we might change this. How we might offer some things to maybe our juniors and seniors in the future that would allow them to have a few days per quarter that they could do this digitally from home and take this, you know, to give them a little more flexibility. Even though we don't like what we're doing now, we're also seeing that we're also able to teach some new skills that they will be using in the workforce too. Our primary job is not to create workers, but that's a natural thing that also happens. But we've had to change some things, you know, especially when you have 6th and 7th graders who are suddenly able to participate in a chat line during class. You know, the first couple of days it was entertaining, and we came up with some new plans there, and they've learned how to be better digital citizens. These are skills that will transfer later. So that was really interesting. Not all of this is bad. Many of our families are really – I think we've got basically two types of families here. We've got families that are looking at this and say, wow, we're really going closer together as a family. And then we've got other families that are saying, hey, this is driving us crazy.
Yeah, this is like the nuclear option.
We can't wait to get out of here.
Right. Yeah.
But I think there are really good things that can come out of if we look for them. So we're even finding some things, even though we're not a high-tech school. In fact, we're the opposite of a high-tech school on purpose. There are things that we're seeing that we will take from this and learn from this and be a better school because of it.
So, Bruce, because I want to make sure we talk about this. What would be your advice for the parents that are really struggling with all of a sudden, especially if they have middle schoolers and high schoolers at home, what would be your advice to them about maximizing the opportunities that this presents?
Well, there was a book written a number of years ago by a gentleman, Paul David Tripp, and the name of the book is Age of Opportunity. If you have not read it, I strongly suggest you get a copy of it and read it. The moments that you have now to spend with your student will build his character, will grow him as a man. If he is able to see you transparently, by that I mean, this is a struggle for you, Dad. This is a struggle for you, Mom. And they need to see that.
Yeah.
They need to see that the world is not all roses and moonbeams, and that just because you say that you're a follower of Christ, it isn't instantaneous. Everything is easy. In fact, it's tough, it's tougher, I think, because not only are you dealing with a broken world, but you're dealing with an enemy who wants to destroy you.
Yeah.
And they have to see you as a real person who deals with real issues, but they have to realize that at the end of the day, your hope is in Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Your faith is in Jesus Christ because you know the love of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And if you have that, you have something, you have a tool that no teacher in a classroom can teach, that no other person can teach better than you. You're the primary teacher. You're the one God picked. He gave you this student and said, get him ready, because when you release him, I want to use him for my glory.
Yeah, so important.
Oh, it is. And so if a parent comes to that understanding that this is not an obstacle that I've got to avoid, it's an opportunity to train the next generation to be followers of Christ.
Yeah.
What an incredible privilege we have
as
parents.
Yep, that's right. And all of a sudden, in the midst of this maelstrom, we have our sons and our daughters as well home a lot. Let's not miss that opportunity to really sow into them. And by the way, for all of us in the midst of all this craziness, we should be a particular people in the first place, but we should be really particular right now. I mean, strange, out of the ordinary, broken about the real impact of the coronavirus situation, but also free of it because of our faith in Christ and because this isn't our ultimate destination. We don't grieve and we don't go through these things as people who have no hope. What about this fall, Alan, at Iron Academy?
We're opening up as normal. We actually admitted two people last week. We're still doing admissions. Now, most of it's virtual now.
Yeah.
I can do a kind of a ghost town tour if you'd like, but that's still continuing. I wouldn't wait until this is over because – we were having our best recruiting season ever, and then boom, it almost stopped. But that'll resume soon. But I honestly wouldn't wait for that. But call, we can talk to you about all kinds of things. But we've got parents who are out there working right now. They're doing some volunteer activities. They're building an outdoor workout rig. We got some kettlebells in. Tell everybody to look up what an Atlas Stone is. We've got three new Atlas Stone molds for the guys. Some exciting things for the guys, but this has been a fun time getting ready for when they come back, because I know every teacher can't wait for them to be back. I still teach one class. I teach the Constitution also.
Yeah, excellent.
And as much interaction as we have in the class and as much as I can hear in their voices, I still want them in front of me.
Yeah.
I still want to know. You can't always tell when something might not be crystal clear, but can't wait to get them back in front of us.
How can people find out more about Iron Academy? And again, that's here in the Triangle area, 6th through 12th grade for young men. How can they find out more?
IronAcademy.org. Watch the videos. You'll really find out who we are.
And what is this? What does this sign say that's right here at the end of the desk? What does that sign say?
I will always conduct myself as a gentleman, live pure, speak true, right wrong, and follow the King.
That's IronAcademy.org. Bruce Mack and Alan Hahn. Always great to see you guys. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with Ashley Smith from Reopen NC. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today. And earlier today, I was downtown Raleigh, and I've been out in front of some abortion clinics the last few weeks. For those of you that are on the Facebook page for the Steve Noble Show, carrying that stuff live, watched 7-8 people get arrested 2 Saturdays ago in Greensboro, 4 of whom were pastors, and that was definitely targeting. Then about a week and a half ago in Charlotte, they arrested 8 people. They're not arresting anybody else. You have an equal application of this quote-unquote law, which means it's an unjust law, and there's major problems. Plus, now let me just say this, and then we're going to talk to Ashley Smith, who's one of the founders of Reopen NC, which is a private group on Facebook. If you're here in North Carolina especially, you need to join it. So go to Reopen NC, hashtag Reopen NC, but Reopen NC is the Facebook group, and you need to join that. And so we have this balance where, yes, we care about every person that's sick. We care about all the people that have died. Every one of those lives matters. I'm a pro-life person, so whether it's in the womb, all the way to the tomb, all those lives matter, and we have to remember to continue to talk about that. We need to protect especially the vulnerable, but we're train wrecking the economy, which is also destroying people's lives in different ways. The suicide hotline traffic is up 300%. In the last 3 or 4 weeks, 300%. And plus, you've got people trapped at homes that are underneath the authoritarian regime of an abuser. So there's all kinds of other things going on besides just the coronavirus situation itself, questioning numbers, all that stuff. But a lot of people need to get back to work. They simply cannot, and the government can't afford to keep everybody afloat. That's never going to happen. And so that's one of the things that was behind Reopen NC, which is a great group that's growing quickly on Facebook. And Ashley Smith is one of the founders of that. Ashley, thanks so much for calling in today. How are you?
I'm doing well, Steve. Thank you so much for having me. Good to
You're very
here.
Welcome. You're very welcome. It was great to be down there in solidarity with everybody this morning, and it was just continued to grow. So kind of take us back to how this all got started for you and the other people that are behind Reopen NC, and what was the genesis of it? What's the goal? And let's talk about also what happened today.
So, you know, the birth of this group really came about with the rumor that was leaked, I think a week or so ago, from other senators and other state officials that Governor Cooper has, you know, is considering extending this shutdown through June. Now, I myself personally have been kind of on the phone since day one about this. I'm a fan of Dan Forrest, and I'm a small government, you know, libertarian constitutionalist. And so when I learned that our governor basically called his council of state to a vote about shutting down restaurants and bars, and they voted against him based on the statute that he had cited, and they did not think it was the right move for North Carolina to shut down and allow takeout only. So 15 minutes later, he came back and cited a different statute and went ahead and moved forward with the shutdown of restaurants and bars then. Without the consensus of the rest of his council members. And so at that point, I'm a bit vocal anyway. And so I began doing what I know to do, which is, you know, calling and putting pressure on the governor. It took me actually 4 weeks to get where I could actually leave a voicemail or speak to a real person on the governor's phone number. Never got any response from emails. So I, you know, reached out to my senator, my representative, the people in the General Assembly. So I've just been making calls and emails kind of all along. As far as our group, when we heard that he was going to, you know, considering extending this shutdown, we just all kind of, myself, Kristen, and Megan, the other founders, had a conversation. I believe it was on Facebook. What are we doing about this? You know, I had already been posting a lot on my personal page and had been very outspoken about my opinion on the matter. And from there, Megan hit create on the group. We all joined, became admins, and the group grew, you know, I think by 150 people on day one. We were at like 3,500, and that was on Tuesday of last week, so we're 1 week old today, like our little 1 week birthday. We had 3,500 members by Thursday. By Easter Sunday, we had 15,000, I believe.
Wow.
And now today, I think we stand to break about 30,000. And I will have you know, we are a private Facebook group, not a public group. So we are really only allowing North Carolina residents, people who are interested in the cause. We're really trying to vet our members a little bit because we don't want to just have it be public. We're trying to really be an action group and be focused on, you know, these peaceful means of protest that we're using.
Yeah, and how would you describe kind of the ultimate goal of Reopen NC, Ashley? Because there's a lot of things on the table. You mentioned Dan Forrest. I'm looking at his page on Facebook right now, and he had a great list of questions that needs to be answered. And I've been saying this for a couple of weeks now that I think federally and on the state level, we brought an atom bomb to a knife fight, and nobody's being strategic about this. They're just doing a one-size-fits-all, which is destroying a lot of businesses and families economically, which also has other effects. But what are some of the main goals for Reopen NC?
We've seen in our area businesses shut down. It's we're really observing what's happening in our towns and with our neighbors and our friends. Businesses going under, you know, churches being closed, graduations being canceled, weddings being canceled. One thing that's been interesting, I've been manning the email account, and so I've been seeing all the emails from North Carolinians who are writing into, you know, their governors and their elected officials, and they're copying us so that we have a record. And what I'm reading is just these heart-wrenching stories of our neighbors who are losing their dream. You know, they've worked their entire lives to open a cake bakery or a wedding photography studio, and now they can't work. They can't do anything. They can't function. They don't want to wait on a government handout. So our goal is to put pressure on these officials and to peacefully protest until North Carolina is open for business. Our goal date would be to have this executive order once it's concluded on April 29th. We would like to see the state open for business on May 1st. We stand by the statement that North Carolina residents are intelligent people, that we are able to make our own medical decisions and assess our own risks and benefits, and that we are able to, just like through every other flu and viral outbreak that we've seen as a country and everyone that we will see in the future, one thing I've heard a resounding voiced on is people who have an immunocompromise or cancer or any other issue. They've said, hey, you know what? We've done this every single flu season. We actually already know what to do, and we don't need the government to come in and enforce us to stay home. We know how to remain our distance, you know, during a flu season, or how to only one person go grocery shopping. These are things that we already do because we know how to protect ourselves because we're actually intelligent, sovereign beings with God-given rights, and we have the ability to make our own intelligent decisions.
And that's the statement that at the federal level, at the state level, and the local level, essentially what most of our government is telling us is you guys are a bunch of idiots and don't know any better, and we're the nanny state, and we're your savior, and we're going to take care of everything because they don't trust us to do it. And then the liberal side is salivating over it because it gains more power for the government. So there's so many different forces at play here. And what do you say, Ashley? And we're talking to Ashley Smith from Reopen NC, hashtag Reopen NC. That is a private group on Facebook, so you have to request to be added, and only if you're in North Carolina you're going to get in there. But with people are saying, oh, you guys only care about yourselves, you only care about your money, you don't care about the people that are actually sick and dying. And I'm sure you've heard this ad nauseum, but how do you kind of handle that?
Well, you know, what I say to that is the deaths of despair are on the rise. I believe that it's with every 1% of unemployment increase, we have a 2% increase of death. We have, you know, domestic violence cases on the increase. As you said, 300% increase in suicide hotline calls. You know, what I've said and what I will continue to say is that the effects of this shutdown are going to be far more far-reaching and devastating to people in the long term than the effects of the virus itself. And I stand by that statement. I truly believe that you know, given the chance, if government will get out of the way, people can actually handle this ourselves.
Yeah.
And that we know how and what to do.
Well, there you go. Now, Ashley, you're sounding like one of the founding fathers, so you better be careful with that. Well, what'd you think about what happened earlier today? I know. What did you think about what happened earlier today? And then give us our call to action for next week.
Okay. So, you know, as far as what happened today, we called for a peaceful protest. The plan, you know, was to remain in or near your vehicle. I was running a little late getting there because I live like 4 hours away. So I actually have a baby that I was taking care of and couldn't get away from. I'm a mom of four and a homeschool. So life is a little busy for us.
Got it.
And so, you know, I got there about 11:45, 12 o'clock. Things were extremely peaceful when I arrived. People were out of their cars, but we were exercising social distancing. I believe it was one of our admins who called ahead and had, you know, spoken to the Raleigh Police Department and I believe the Wake County Sheriff. And we were told that we didn't need a permit, that we were within our constitutional rights as long as we maintained the guidelines, which I believe that we did. You know, I was doing an interview with, I think, WRL. I think I was featured today. I'm not sure. I haven't gotten a chance to see it. But, you know, the next thing I knew, it was like over the loudspeaker, there was a whole group, and these were Capitol Police, so these were not the Raleigh Police Department, and they were over the megaphone telling everyone that they needed to disperse or be arrested. And so I tried to communicate with them, and at that point, they were just totally non-communicative with us. It was, you're not allowed to sit in your car. You're not allowed to be here. This is not public property. You have to leave now, or you're going to be arrested. You're going to be arrested. You're going to be arrested. And so at that point, the majority of people did leave. There was some conversation about civil disobedience, and most people did leave. We continued to circle the Capitol building and honk our horns, and I'm sure that went on for about an hour. And I actually stayed on the Capitol grounds and walked carrying my sign for about 45 minutes, myself and my husband and one other gentleman. And, you know, I was extremely livid, to be honest with you. I think now they've come out with a statement on their Facebook page saying that protesting is non-essential. Protesting is non-essential.
Exercising your constitutional right to gather is non-essential. Yeah, we got it.
Non-essential. Yeah. To hear them tell it is. They would just love for us to all go home in our little houses and wait for our paycheck
That's
to come
right.
from the nanny government.
That's right.
Okay.
So what's the plan next week, Ashley? What's the plan?
We're going to continue on with our call to action. To join the group, we have a list of all the key people to contact in our state general assembly, the people that we're trying to put pressure on. And we're going to be moving forward to other events. I'm speaking with other names later, so there will be some things in the works, but I'm not quite ready to comment on that yet.
Okay, excellent. Ashley Smith, Reopen NC. Go join that group. If you're from North Carolina, go join that group like I did. Reopen NC on Facebook. Ashley Smith, God bless you. Thank you for calling in, and we look forward to being a part of what we're doing here. Thanks so much. Got it. We'll talk to you later. Thanks so much. That was Ashley Smith, Reopen NC. Here's the trick. You got to get so many people down there that what are they going to do? Throw us all in jail? At some point, they can't. And we need to stick up for our rights. We need to stand up. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.